Superhuman Radio will start in just a moment, but Elisa and I wanted to tell you about something we're really excited about.
One of the top requests we get every month is to do a show about eating the superhuman way on a budget. So many people say it's just impossible, but now we have the answer.
We can now tell you to shop at ThriveMarket.com for all your favorite products. Whether it's organic, paleo, raw, vegan, non-GMO, or any other natural products, you'll find them all at ThriveMarket.com.
ThriveMarket.com has over 3,000 healthy products at 25 to 50% off retail. Go to ThriveMarket.com/SuperhumanRadio and get 2 months free membership and 15% off your first order.
Take advantage of this outstanding offer. Thanks to ThriveMarket.com, eating like a superhuman has never been cheaper.
Less expensive.
Cheaper.
Carl, it's less expensive.
Okay, less expensive. Get over to ThriveMarket.com/SuperhumanRadio today and start saving big time. Never pay retail again.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
And in just a moment, I will be joined by my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini for Science for Humans. We're going to talk about prostate health. This was a question that was submitted by a listener that Dr. Jeff is going to be answering. After that, we're going to be talking to Dr. Oliver Rando about how the father's diet affects RNA of his sperm. It's always been thought that it's the mother's diet that plays the most important role on the embryo and fetus. But that may not be the case. And then at the top of the second hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Michael Murphy to talk about vascular contributions to cognitive impairment and dementia. You know, like so many things, it's always much more complex than we think it is. When we talk about dementia, it's not just insulin resistance. Sometimes it's blood flow related. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But without further ado,
this is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
Hey, Dr. Jeff, how you doing? Dr. Jeff, can you hear me? Did I do something wrong? Dr. Jeff, are you there? Huh, this is odd. I know he's there. This has been going on all week. We had this problem. He says, I can hear you, but you can't hear. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I know what it is. Hold on. How about now, Dr. Jeff?
Can you hear me?
Yes, much better. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My problem. Okay, so welcome back to another episode of Science for Humans with my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini. And we're going to be talking about prostate health. But before we get into that, I got to ask you, I see a lot more people reaching out to you about samples and stuff. Is there anything special that we're offering right now?
You know, you're just getting the Dr. Jeff feel-good package right now.
Okay.
So all you got to do is just say, hey, got any samples? And you're going to get a variety of things that I've got sitting here.
So,
but normally they get some carbolins, some crealkalins, some pre-workout. You know, I'll throw in a shaker bottle.
It's always a surprise, not only to the people who receive the package, but to what Dr. Jeff is going to send when he starts putting the package together. I hear a lot of people on Facebook saying that they can't believe they asked for one little thing and they got a big box of stuff. So go to superhumanradio.com, click the Ask the Scientist banner at the bottom of the page, and ask Dr. Jeff for some stuff. That's it. Just say, Dr. Jeff, send me some stuff.
Send me some stuff. That's what they do. Hey, I told Seth, I would say, hey, Seth, because, you know, All American Pharmaceutical is now listening live to the show. So that's kind of exciting.
This is so cool. So when I walk in to All American Pharmaceutical for my quarterly show, I'm standing there talking to Seth and I realize they hear my voice in the background. They have the Superhuman Radio show playing through our channel continuously throughout the whole building. How annoying could that be that these poor people have to listen to me talk all day long?
You know, they enjoy it because, you know, it's in the break room. But again, they're getting good information. So, you know,
that's what it's all about. And to continue on with good information, John from Laverne, California asked for you to do a topic on prostate health. So before we can talk about prostate health, what is the prostate gland and what purpose does it serve, Dr. Jeff?
You know, and that's a good question because so many people are having prostate issues. You know, it's a little gland. And it's interesting because the name prostate comes from the Greek word, I'm not going to pronounce the Greek, but prostates, which means stands alone, protect, guardian. But it's a very important endocrine gland of the male reproductive system. I never really even knew what it did until I started to do some research. You know, you've heard about the prostate, but you know, unless you remember your anatomy and physiology from college, you kind of forget some of this stuff.
Right.
But its main function is to secrete a slightly alkaline, kind of a milky fluid in appearance, and that usually contains about 30% a semen along with a spermatoza and seminal vesicle fluid. And this is all important for the entire reproductive system.
In fact, doesn't some of that fluid is actually the medium that protects the sperm? Like, for instance, I know the prostate produces something called pre-ejaculatory seminal fluid, which coats the urethra and keeps any residual urine and acidity from destroying the sperm as it travels out.
Correct. You know, the semen needs to be slightly alkaline in order to, you know, do its thing. So, you know, all of these fluids and things help to neutralize the acids, not only during the ejaculation, but also going into the vagina tract and things. So, again, that whole fluid, very, very important for reproduction. Without it, you know, I don't believe reproduction could take place.
Do you think that some of these supplements out there really work? There's lots of supplements out there that claim to help with prostate health. Do you have any top supplements on your list?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to first look at, you know, according to the American Cancer Society, they're now saying that more than 190,000 new cases of prostate cancer are diagnosed in the USA alone every year. And when you look at, you know, what their top requirements are, you know, recommendations. The first one is keep a healthy weight and exercise regularly. Then they have don't smoke. And then, of course, you know, get a blood test, rectal exams annually when you become 50 years. So, you know, being healthy is probably the first thing. You know, when you look at, you know, what supplements are touted, there are quite a few. You know, we're going to talk about food sources that contain a lot of these natural components that you find in supplements. But I don't think there's any miracle, you know, supplement. It's all about prevention. So when you look at things like saw palmetto, you know, this is one that helps with the enlarged prostate. There's some research that shows that, you know, that does help to reduce that. Nettle's root is another one that's great for prostate health. Red clover contains a lot of antioxidants that help to fight different types of cancer growth. And, of course, vitamin B6 and vitamin C are essential for prostate health. You know, as we talked last year just about the importance of, you know, these vitamins that we kind of forget about. But one thing I hadn't thought about is soy.
Really?
Yeah, you know, soy contains selenium. There's zinc, and, you know, selenium and zinc are really important for prostate health. So some organizations are recommending, you know, adding some soy, some miso, tofu, and things of that nature. Omega-3s, you know, fish oils, very, very important. And the list kind of goes on, but a couple of my other top ones, besides zinc and selenium, green tea, great for preventing, you know, cancer, getting rid of a lot of the bacterial infections that
You broke up there, Dr. Jeff. What was the supplement again?
Green tea.
Green tea. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
Catechins. Yes.
A lot of you know, anti-cancer properties. But those are kind of my top supplements. I got more foods than I do supplements.
So, In 2014, we did a show about a study, a longitudinal study that followed some 16,000 men. And you're not going to believe what they showed protects the prostate against developing both cancer and benign prostatic hyperplasia.
What?
Orgasm. So they
really?
looked at men, and they looked at them on a spectrum of frequency of orgasm. The men who were having an average of 20 orgasms a month, and this is especially true in the younger years. It's actually protective in the latter years, but the men who continued on to experience orgasm more frequently had a virtually zero risk of prostate cancer. As they looked at the frequency, as the frequency diminished, the prostate cancer risk increased. And this was an amazing study. And it really, when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, because when the prostate stops doing its job, everything kind of just backs up in it. And this is where the problems occur.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It does make sense.
Interesting.
You know, it is very interesting. And one of the things I wanted to say, too, a lot of times, you know, us males, we don't go to the doctor, you know, until something goes wrong.
We're men.
You know, yeah. But I want to recommend, you know, again, that if you're African American, you are more susceptible to prostate cancer. So you should start getting checked at about age 45. The rest, you know, kind of the age is about 50. But do that preventive maintenance, because it's easier to deal with a situation if they catch it in the beginning stages. I've got a friend that he just recently diagnosed with prostate cancer. His two brothers had it. His oldest brother decided, oh, you know, I'm not going to worry about it. He's now in stage 4. Nothing can be done about it. Luckily, my friend decided to go in and have that procedure done, and they were able to basically get rid of everything and hope that, you know, he'll be normal from here out. So again, you want to take this seriously, because a lot of people just let it go thinking, you know, it'll go away, and it doesn't.
Right. And by the way, most prostate cancers are not threatening. Most doctors, if they find something, they'll tell you, like, we're just going to watch it, because no radical therapy is required. So don't be afraid to go and get checked out because of what you're going to find. Because what you may I have a cousin who was diagnosed with a mild prostate cancer probably about 8 years ago. And his doctor said to him, you're going to die of something else way before you develop full-blown cancer from this one.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, looking at, you know, what helps to get rid of these things in the beginning stages, it's a lot easier to adjust your diet, you know, get some of these nutrients from foods, from supplements, versus waiting until you are at the end where there's nothing that can be done.
Okay, why don't we do this? Why don't we go ahead and take our break now? And when we come back, let's talk about foods that help with the prostate, but also some foods to avoid. What do you think?
Sounds
good. All right. Let's do this. We're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Science for Humans. Stay tuned. Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
For the best in real world, no nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great-tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit Prime Nutrition. And use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles. And another, the overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used. Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Made by Hemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Science for Humans with my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini. I'm Carl Lenore. We're talking about prostate health. We talked about supplements earlier and even some other things that might help your prostate. But really what it comes down to quite often is making healthy decisions, especially about food. So, Dr. Jeff, what foods seem to present themselves as being good for the prostate?
Here's the good food. So I want to say, John, thanks from La Verne, California, for presenting me with this question, because I probably wouldn't have thought about prostate health. But so I do appreciate that. Brazil nuts, Carl. I'm going to now add Brazil nuts to my my nut campaign because they're very rich in selenium and zinc. And selenium and zinc are very important for prostate health. Broccoli, it contains several phytonutrients which contain anti-cancer properties. So broccoli, good stuff.
Doesn't broccoli contain something called DIM, I think it is, that a lot of the bodybuilders back in the day used to use to try to control estrogen levels?
I'm not sure about the DIM. You know, this in particular, the sulfamine and the indoles. So, actually, it does contain indoles, indole 3 carbonate, which is the DIN, which also is a anti-aromatase.
Yeah.
So good stuff to eat. Cayenne has an ability that capsaicin that causes prostate cancer cells to basically commit suicide. You know, they just die.
Interesting.
And then we were talking about the supplement green tea. Drinking green tea. Again, green tea has all different types of antioxidants, polyphenols, and research has shown that, you know, these help to destroy certain bacteria and viruses, and especially those that do cause prostate cancer. So green tea, good. And you're my favorite, mushrooms, which every time we're having a steak and we order mushrooms, we tell the waiter about mushroom
I know.
Abilities.
So last time we were at what was the steakhouse we went to in Montana last time? Was it Texas
Roadhouse.
Yeah, so the kid came up and asked us if we want that, and I said mushrooms, and Dr. Jeff said mushrooms, and then I started to tell him about how mushrooms are cancer protective. And I think he thought to us, look, I just need to get to the next table. Can you just place your order?
Yeah. I'm not even going to ask if you want onions, because who knows what that could do. pomegranate. University of Los Angeles, California researchers found that pomegranate juice significantly slowed down the progression of prostate cancer. So pomegranates, pumpkin, excuse me, pumpkin seeds. Pumpkin seeds contain carotenoids and omega-3, and we already said omega-3s are really good for prostate health, which moves us into that beautiful salmon fish. Again, high in omega-3s, which are important for supporting prostate health.
Hey, Dr. Jeff, do you think that all fatty fish, like even sardines, are high in omega-3s? Anchovies are high in omega-3s, so would you just say salmon and all fatty fish?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, even the whiter fishes do contain some omega-3s, just not as high. But, yeah, absolutely. You know, salmon, just because that's the more common one. Any type of fattier fish, good omega-3s. Tomatoes contain lycopene, which is a very potent antioxidant. And, again, that's shown to enhance prostate health. And the last on the list, which isn't really a food, it's more of a spice, but turmeric. Turmeric was traditionally used to fight inflammation, colds, asthma, but scientists are now discovering that it has anti-cancer properties, including its ability to fight prostate cancer. So really what that equates to is healthy eating, you know, eating more healthy, preparing your foods. The National Cancer Society, you know, says, you know, stay away from, you know, processed meats.
Yeah.
You know, excess fatty acids that are, you know, kind of the bad stuff. You know, processed foods in general. So it really comes back to, you know, eating a more healthy diet. There's got to be a reason why prostate cancer is increasing, where, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, it was much less. And some of it, besides all the pesticides and things, I think contributes to the fact that we are sloppy eaters here in America.
Sloppy eaters who eat a pro-inflammatory diet. You know, the common link in this discussion, as you point out, are the anti-inflammatory things seem to help protect the prostate. And that's because when you eat processed foods, they generally have lots of omega-6 type fatty acids in them because of the vegetable oils that they use, hydrogenated oils that they use. It comes down to inflammation. The reason for cancer is because your body becomes chronically inflamed and it can't deal with it for very long, and so cells start to mutate. And so anything that you can do, I'll tell you something else. Strenuous, intense exercise is what charges the glutathione system. Glutathione is a master antioxidant that has anti-inflammatory benefits in the body. And guess what? You can't get nearly as much of it from food or supplements as you can from an arduous, intense 45-minute workout.
Yeah, and you know, and I think that's really the key. I mean, you know, you got to keep backing up. You know, okay, supplements, foods, but like you said, it comes down to let's just exercise. You know, I get a little frustrated when you talk to somebody about, well, you need to go exercise, and they go, I don't have time. I mean, you got to make time.
Yes.
You know, you take your car in to get the oil changed. You just got to make time to exercise.
Well, they will make time when they go to their doctor's office and get diagnosed with cancer. And then they'll spend 50 to 75% of their week going from specialist to doctor to pharmacy and worrying about their cancer. So why not just do what you need to do now to avoid that in the future?
Absolutely. You know, yeah, I mean, and that really, prevention is what, you know, our industry is all about. You know, let's look at, you know, preventing prostate cancer so, you know, we don't have to discuss what to do when you get it. You know, I think, again, this is something that 190,000, I think maybe half of it could be prevented. You know, obviously there are hereditary and things that happen, but I think a good amount of those could be prevented just from exercising and a healthy diet.
And I know that a lot of people probably think that I say that exercise is the answer to everything, but I gotta be honest with you. It really is. It's not exercise. It's activity slash inactivity. And we are designed to be very active, but our modern lifestyle is designed to keep us very inactive. And this leads to depression, cancer, heart disease. All-cause mortality is increased by inactivity. So when we talk about exercise, people go, oh, you know, it's not all about... Yes, because we have to artificially find ways to stay active today because we sit in a car, we don't walk anywhere anymore. We sit at our desk, we don't lift heavy things anymore. We sit back in our car, we sit at our dinner table, we sit in front of our TV set, and then we lay down in bed. That is 80% of the average American's day. That is the link to disease. So you do have to find reasons to exercise, yes.
Well, you do. And, you know, look at the research that's now coming out showing that by exercising your brain, you know, what that does. Well, your brain is a muscle, so... Don't just stop at your brain. You know, I agree. You got to keep sharp. You got to keep doing puzzles and reading and doing things. But, you know, the body, you know, you got to keep the blood pumping. You got to keep healthy. And again, you know, exercise isn't what Carl and I do. You know, that is kind of the extreme. You know, anyone can get in, and you don't even have to go to a gym. You know, invest, you know, $200 in a treadmill or a bike, or go outside if you live in the warm water or weather. But don't let, you know, wintertime being an excuse to do nothing. You know, right. You can always find something to do. So we just want to encourage you to get on a healthy eating program and exercise.
And have your prostate checked, because there's no better way to find out what's going on than to have a doctor do a digital exam and say, uh-oh, I think we have a problem. Don't be surprised
Absolutely.
By a diagnosis of cancer. Dr. Jeff, so people can reach out to you, and the new thing is to go to superhumanradio.com, click the Ask the Scientist banner ad and go, hey, Dr. Jeff, send me some stuff.
And what you got to do is, if what I do send you some stuff, you not got to do something in return. You either got to take a picture and post it or take a video. I want to show people how surprised you are on what you get.
Yeah.
And again, the whole reason behind doing this is that, you know, EFX Sports are great products. But my philosophy is you should try something before you buy it. You should never buy a car without driving it. You should never buy a horse without riding it. And you should never buy a supplement without being able to try it. I just like you to be surprised when you know, get some extra goodies that you didn't think about. And Carl, right now, I actually found some extra goodies. So for the next month, I'll be including a few little extra things in the sample boxes.
Surprises. And you want to know what they are? You'll have to ask Dr. Jeff for some stuff. That's
right.
Dr. Jeff, thanks for being on the show today, brother.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Talk to you soon. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the responsibility of the father's diet and the effects on his offspring. It's not all about the mom. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all 4 forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. So, moms carry a lot of the responsibility for child rearing. And obviously, because they carry the babies, we look at their diet, we look at the things that they do, and we say, oh, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, be responsible to protect your baby. And dads have pretty much gotten a pass. Dads have always thought that they can do whatever they want to do. They just donate some sperm, and mom is responsible for everything else. But maybe that's not the case. The next discussion is with Dr. Oliver Rando. How you doing, Dr. Rando?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And you recently published a study, and the press release was titled, "The Father's Diet Affects the RNA of His Sperm, Mouse Study Shows," which may indicate that maybe the statement I just made is not correct. Fathers don't get a pass. What questions were you trying to answer in this research? What preceded this that made you want to look at this?
Right. So I work in the field generally known as epigenetic inheritance, which basically is the study of things that you pass on between generations that are not the DNA sequence.
Right, which we know now. We've been talking about epigenetics and transgenerational effects of things on this show for the better part of 6 or 7 years now. And we know that this plays a very important role, maybe even more so than just your genetic predisposition.
I might not go that far, but I commend you on being ahead of the curve, and I think the fact that you pass on anything is forcing us to revisit the idea of whether or not the world you live in affects your future generations.
Mm-hmm.
So I work in this field, and because you pass on information that's not DNA, and this has been known for a decade or two, let's call it two decades, this reopens the old possibility called Lamarckian inheritance by some, that what you do can affect the epigenetic information. We know that, by and large, the way we live doesn't affect our DNA sequence, but it does affect epigenetic information, and so that raised the possibility, or re-raised the possibility, that how you live and how you treat yourself could affect disease risk and phenotype in future generations. And so 5 or 6 years ago, so you guys have been really on this from the top, a number of studies came out. One of them was from our lab, where people, a bunch of different researchers, looked at paternal effects of different things. It was mostly stress or diet. In our case, it was a low-protein diet. And the reason we study fathers rather than mothers is actually not for any ideological reasons. It's just that dads are, it's very easy to separate his epigenetic information from everything else, right? So mom is baby's first environment, so a mom who drinks heavily has kids with fetal alcohol syndrome. But this doesn't have to be magic and epigenetic. The fetus is directly seeing the alcohol. And so this is why it's sort of easy experimentally to do paternal effects, because with dad, particularly with mice, you can just have the mouse mate for a day and then you take him out. And he really doesn't have any influence over the kids except for his ejaculate.
Right, right.
And so what we found 5 years ago was that animals consuming a low-protein diet had children with altered cholesterol metabolism. Other studies looked at things like high-fat diet and saw altered glucose control. So things that looked a lot like diabetes in humans. And so this is really the background for the research that that just came out in the last month, which was to try to, the background is that we do see a link between ancestral nutrition and phenotype in the next generation, but we had no idea how it works.
See, and this makes perfect sense from an evolutionary perspective. So, you know, When the baby is the embryo is being formed, the information from the dad, the information from the mom, gives a snapshot of what the environment looks like now, and quite possibly what the environment will look like as this child is born and grows, and it tries to adjust for perhaps a famine state or conditions that aren't ideal. So this makes perfect sense that. The father's experience and representation of the environment is somehow encapsulated as a blueprint in his sperm, along with the material to make the baby, and says, hey, this is the environment this baby's going to be born into, so adjust.
That's right. This actually, in humans, is sometimes called the thrifty phenotype hypothesis.
Right.
So children who are born, who are starved in utero, particularly during the most famous cases, the Dutch hunger winter, when they are told that they're going to go hungry, it makes sense for them to hoard calories.
Mm-hmm.
And then this can become a problem when they return to conditions of plenty. And so these children who are starved in utero have elevated rates of obesity and diabetes. And so you're exactly right that maybe the parents are preparing the children for what the world will look like.
So talk about this study. How was this study designed?
So what we did in this study is the first question we asked is whether or not the information that dad passes on to kids is in sperm. You would assume it is, but there are other ways that fathers can communicate to children. For example, proteins in seminal fluid, the liquid that sperm come in,
mm-hmm.
Can affect offspring metabolism. So the first thing we did is tested whether or not the information is in sperm. So we take sperm from males on a control diet or a low-protein diet. And we purified the sperm, and we mixed it with purified eggs. This is called in vitro fertilization. Many humans have been born by this method. And this purifies sperm away from everything else. And so the first thing we asked is whether or not the offspring of those matings have altered cholesterol metabolism. And they did.
Mm.
So that first tells us that the information is in sperm, and that's where we should be looking. Then we've we've started a number of studies looking at the different epigenetic information carriers. So there are three major ones, DNA modification, packaging of DNA into chromatin, and small RNAs. And this study was the one focused on small RNAs, and this is the one that has been the most promising in terms of a candidate lead that can explain what's going on.
So what does that small RNA contribute to the development of a fetus?
So that's a good question. Until, say, 10 years ago, the dogma was that sperm don't have any functional RNA, that all the RNA in sperm was the sort of chewed up remnants of the RNAs that were used during the process of making a sperm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only in the last couple of years that people have started to revisit this with more sensitive technologies and, first of all, find that there is RNA in sperm, and second of all, show when you either take away these RNAs or give them back, that these RNAs actually have functions in early development. But I guess what I can tell you is that while there are now some cases where we believe small RNAs do play roles in the early embryo, it is not particularly well known what the whole spectrum of roles these RNAs play is.
Right. But I have a feeling they play a role, and that will unfold over time, because nature is perfect. Nature doesn't do things by accident. 4.6 million years of evolution, I think, has solidified that. So what does this tell us? What you discovered in this most recent paper, does this tell us that the dads really need to pay a lot more attention to what they eat and their lifestyle, and for what period of time? There's a lot of people out there experimenting with ketogenic diets right now because it's all the rage, and they may have children someday. Doing this for a period of time and then going back to a normal diet, will that correct things, or is that imprinted and says, hey, there may be this possibility in the future for this child?
Okay, so I'll answer the two sub-questions in reverse order. In terms of when this can happen, we have never addressed this question. I do know from other paradigms in the literature that apparently you can stress animals very close to when they mate with females, and it can still affect the kids. So it looks like you may be really telling your kids about information right up to maybe not the moment of conception, but very close to conception. Whether or not something that happens to you early in life is reversible by your later behavior, I couldn't say, and I couldn't speculate. In terms of what I would recommend people do, that's a really challenging question. So I can tell you that I've known that father's diet affects offspring metabolism for 10 years now. It was published 5 years ago, but the way science works, you know things for a long time before you publish. So I have two kids, they're 7 and 5, and so you might ask, what did I do personally to affect my kids? And the answer is I didn't really change anything, and the reason is sort of twofold. One is we know the effects of very few environmental conditions on kids. It's primarily, like in our study, starvation, and I think it's sort of an obvious public health recommendation not to undergo a famine. So that's not really going to change how anyone behaves. We don't really know the effects of more subtle things, right, like living in a cold climate, living in a warm climate, ketogenic diets versus not. So that's one thing, is that there just hasn't been a lot of study of lots of varied environments. The other thing is that in order to recommend what you do as a father, it sort of requires that you have some idea of what the future is going to look like. So if you anticipate that your kids are going to grow up in a world with very little food, maybe you should food restrict. But how do you know what the future is going to look like?
Right.
And so that's where I really don't think it makes sense for people like me to recommend anything in particular, because there's an arrogance in assuming that we know what the future will look like.
No, and I agree with you. Whenever we start to become arrogant and think we know better than nature, that's when we get in trouble. Let's take a quick commercial break. I've got more questions. We're talking right now with Dr. Oliver Rando. We're talking about the role of the father's diet on the RNA that is passed along to his offspring. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Vitalform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great-tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit Prime Nutrition and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today. Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the MGDO healthy deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
DJ Yoda, here we go.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Oliver Rando. We're talking about the role of the father's diet on the RNA that's contributed via his sperm to his offspring. And like we said earlier, you know, it's always been thought that the mother's been responsible for all this and the dad gets a pass, but I always found that hard to believe anyway. And I think that we're going to learn more and more as time goes on. So, Dr. Rando, this may also be very speculative to ask this question. However, we know, is it possible that because you looked at protein consumption, you actually stack the odds in your favor to find something? And my reasoning is this. Amino acids are assembled by the It's the reticulum. I can't think of the name of it right now, but it'll come to me in a second. The endoplasmic reticulum as messages. It strings these amino acids together in a certain syntax to provide messages between cells. That by looking specifically at protein, you stack the odds in your favor of seeing some sort of defect in the RNA, the resulting RNA.
Right. So the RNAs that we see change are called pieces of tRNAs or tRNA fragments. And one of the reasons we got very interested in chasing these particular molecules is that tRNAs are the adapters in the process you just described. So the way information works in us and all cells, basically everything but viruses, is that DNA carries your heritable information. Mm-hmm. A copy of that is made into RNA, called a messenger RNA, and then that copy is translated into protein by the ribosome on the endoplasmic reticulum.
Mm-hmm.
The adapters for translation are the tRNAs. So they read out the message, the messenger RNA, and they also have the amino acids attached to them. And so they are the things that translate between the language of DNA RNA and the language of proteins.
Mm.
And so for us, it was very compelling to look at a low-protein diet and see changes in the levels of pieces of these tRNAs, because these are a very natural thing to see, to see your protein status, because when you don't have enough amino acids, they will not get linked to amino acids because they won't be there to be linked to them. So that was certainly something that made us chase this particular lead much more, with more effort than we would, say, some other random piece of RNA.
Yeah. So what do you think that it would be speculative also to think that people who subscribe to a protein-restrictive diet, for instance, let's say someone who's a vegan for decades, where they're not getting complete amino acid profiles in their diet, could also run the risk of these changes in the tRNA? Even though they're eating a high-protein diet, but they're eating a highly restrictive protein diet, almost like trying to write a book but excluding the words about, the, and of. You know what I mean?
Yes. It's certainly plausible. As I said in the last segment, the kinds of diets people have looked at have tended to be very extreme diets thus far.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be severe caloric restriction or very high-fat diets or low-protein. The question of whether or not more subtle changes in diet, only eating the essential amino acids but not eating the rest of them,
mm-hmm.
or changing the spectrum of amino acids you get, whether or not these things also affect future generations will be one of the really interesting questions to get into over the next couple years. But in terms of your speculative question, it's certainly plausible and maybe even likely. But I don't know the answer to whether or not changing which amino acids you're eating does affect kids. All I know is that when you restrict the total amount of protein, it affects kids.
Right. So what do you hope that, let's say clinicians, first of all, take away from this research, those who are considering this, what should they consider?
Well, as we said before, I hesitate to give any specific advice on what to do for your kid's benefit, with the sort of trivial exception of, you shouldn't go through a famine. Men who go through a famine may end up having kids who have higher levels of metabolic disease. So that one sort of, that's a no-brainer because you don't want to go through famines anyway. Outside of that, I guess I can't give any specific advice, but I would say that men should be more aware of the fact that they can affect their kids.
Yeah.
And they're not just donors of sperm. And I think being aware of how you're living is, if you're not doing it for yourself, then if doing it for your children will help you, then I think that's a worthwhile piece of advice.
There was a show that we did, I want to say, I think it was in 2015, but it may have been late 2014, where we had, I want to say it was from the University of Washington, but it gets blurry after a while. I'm in my 11th year of doing the show. But we had a scientist on the show that they were looking at Agent Orange, And they showed
was
that
it Michael Skinner?
I think it was transgenerational effects in men's passed along from the fathers to the children. So that was evidence that what dads are being exposed to is affecting their offspring just as much as the moms.
That's right. I think their paper was one of the very first papers in mammals to link paternal exposures to effects in kids.
Yeah, it was really cool. So, again, to you, those of you out there listening to the show that are planning on being dads, you know, you need to look at yourself. We look at women as being this vessel. Oh, you know, we've got to put them on vitamins, stop smoking, no alcohol, do all these things for the baby. Well, guess what? You probably need to do that before you donate your sperm. You need to make sure that your life is cleaned up. I think that's a reasonable thing to assume. So, listen, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Take care.
A lot of fun.
Take care. All right, we're gonna take one quick commercial break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about the role of the vasculature of the brain and how it plays into cognitive function and dementia. We've talked a lot about insulin resistance of the brain over the years, but what about the blood vessels that carry oxygen and nutrients to the brain? Do they play a role? Stay tuned.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered 2 more bottles." And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit Coach Rob Regis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating. but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
There's a new groove. There's a new thing. Gets down to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah. Dementia is a big problem today. But there's not just one reason for it. We've talked quite a bit in the past about some of the implications of diabetes and insulin resistance, even what some are coining type 3 diabetes of the brain. But it's not always about sugar, it looks like. Today we're going to be discussing vascular contributions to cognitive impairment and dementia with my guest, Dr. Michael Murphy. How you doing, Dr. Murphy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. And you're right here in my home state. You're at the University of Kentucky, right?
Yes, indeed I am.
Yeah, very cool. We don't often get a chance to interview somebody from the hometown, so that makes this even more fun for me. So let's talk about this research. What questions were you trying to answer in this research? What led up to this research?
Well, I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned the diabetes angle and insulin sugar, because how we started out on this path was that it's been known for a very long time that people who are overweight or have type 2 diabetes by midlife have a higher risk of dementia. And it's never really been known exactly why that is. For a long time, we thought it was just a risk factor for Alzheimer's disease, but it turns out it's much more complicated than that. And when we started delving into this issue several years ago, it turned out that what's really going on is that midlife risk elevation from people who are overweight or have diabetes is really tied to vascular problems.
Mm. So let's talk about the linkage between diabetes and vascular problems, and then we'll get into your research. So a lot of people suffer from things like high blood pressure when they are diabetic. And that's because there's a relationship between insulin and angiotensin-converting enzyme. As insulin levels rise, so does angiotensin-converting enzyme. The purpose of and please correct me, I'm not a scientist. I'm just kind of repeating what I've learned over the years. The role of angiotensin-converting enzyme is to restrict peripheral blood flow in the fight or flight time where organs need blood to survive. But this happens constantly around the clock. And it's kind of like if you have a hose and you start pinching it down, the pressure in the hose increases, and that's what's going on with blood vessels. Is that an accurate assessment of the relationship between hyperinsulinemia or insulin resistance and blood pressure?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on in there. I mean, one of the things that we've been interested in over the years, and other people have too, is that the connection between angiotensin signaling and dementia. And there's definitely a really strong risk between hypertension and all forms of dementia, not just vascular dementia, but just Alzheimer's disease on its own. That's because there are some profound blood flow changes to the brain in all types of dementia. And one of the things that's gotten some attention in recent years is kind of repurposing a lot of the blood pressure medications that are used to treat hypertension to actually tap into that system to treat dementia in general.
Interesting. So, and one of the other things that I deduced from an interview that we did a few years ago was that when you restrict blood flow to the brain, you force it to work because the brain doesn't back off. You force it to work under suboptimal conditions, which actually can do collateral damage to nerves, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about your research here. How was this study designed?
So we've done a couple of different things recently. What we started looking at was both patients that we have here. I'm at the Sanders Brown Center on Aging here in Lexington at the University of Kentucky, and one of the things that we do here is we have a cohort of individuals that we follow for many years as part of some of these people participate in our long-term clinical trials and short-term trials with different drugs for treating Alzheimer's disease and so on. And as being part of our long-term study, a lot of people generously agree to donate their brains when they pass away. And one of the things we started looking at was how there was a relationship between a lot of midlife variables and how they got, and other things that happened as they got older, and how it related to their neuropathology. And this was kind of one of the things we got started on, this looking at changes in the pathology in the brain and how they were related to both lifestyle factors like diet, exercise, and so on, and how they might be predictive of both how much Alzheimer's-like pathology they have in their brain and other pathology as well. I mean, if we were thinking about sort of what vascular dementia might be, mm-hmm. and this has always been a big problem in the field. I mean, it's not as well appreciated as Alzheimer's is. In most cases, probably about 60 or so percent of dementia cases are Alzheimer's disease, but Alzheimer's disease is really messy. Mm-hmm. So you don't really have pure Alzheimer's disease a lot. If you think about when people are getting older, it's really unusual for someone in their 80s to not have any vascular problems in their brain. They're going to have some arteriosclerosis. They're going to have some maybe some small hemorrhages, some tiny strokes, a lot of things like that. So most people are going to have some of that and some Alzheimer's pathology as well. And those things sort of combine together to give you this vascular cognitive impairment. Mm-hmm. I guess one thing when I try to explain it to people how this is important, there's only about maybe 20% or so of people with dementia that are probably pure vascular dementia. That's a different thing from stroke. People often think this is kind of like a stroke thing, but it's not necessarily the same. It's kind of like what you said with blood flow. If you think about it, you have this kind of accumulating Alzheimer's pathology as you get older. Eventually it gets to some threshold where you start to have memory problems. And this is where people would typically show up at a clinic to say, you know, doctor, I'm having some problems remembering where my keys are and how to get home and stuff like that. And what's really happening there is they've actually got an awful lot of Alzheimer's pathology already. And from then on, we try to figure out, is there a way to slow down the progression of the disease or treat it? But with vascular pathology, what happens is that's kind of stacked on top of that Alzheimer's pathology. So it's really lowering that threshold. So if you have vascular pathology on top of that, maybe you're driving people over that edge faster,
right,
or having an earlier age of onset.
And quite frankly, it sounds to me, this is more of a question than a statement, that it might be easier to resolve vascular pathologies than, say, break down and eradicate plaques that are building up and or reverse damage to entire areas of, you know, collateral damage to nerves, that through a variety of different therapies, you could actually perhaps open those blood vessels back up and get some of the oxygen and the glucose and other things to those areas of the brain.
Yep, that's true. And one of the problems we've had in all forms of dementia is when you're trying to develop treatments for this, and we've worked on this for some years now, that you've got this situation where we know that the pathology starts about 10 to 15 years before clinical symptoms show up, but as you get closer to kind of the onset of this, that you kind of are getting to... the easiest way to say it is it's kind of analogous to Parkinson's disease, which is a totally different type of neurologic disorder, but in Parkinson's disease, part of the brain that's driving that motor pathology, the substantia nigra, you end up having to lose somewhere in the vicinity of about 90% of the brain cells in that part of your brain before you start to have symptoms. So
right.
That's been going on for a very long time.
Right.
So it's something similar with with dementia as well, and Alzheimer's and other related forms of it, that by the time you show up with memory problems, you already have an enormous amount of damage. So even if you start to clear that stuff up, you still have a lot of, you know, neurons have died off, you've lost a lot of synapses. There's a lot of collateral damage. You also have a lot of this ongoing inflammation in the brain that's really hard to resolve. In theory, you think, it probably would be somewhat easier to clear some of the blood vessel problems, but it also depends on what those problems are.
Obviously, if the problems are related to diameter changes due to elasticity and structure of blood vessels, versus a stenosis from a plaque or some sort of metabolic debris that's gathering, the latter would probably be a lot harder. The former would be something you could attack, you could address, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that. I think one of the things we've always been concerned about is when would be a good time to intervene, and this has always been a challenge. I mean, we know that there's a lot of stuff you can do. So if you're in your 40s, it's a good time to take a look at your overall health. And if you're thinking about what's the main drivers of all forms of neurological disease, it's really what your overall health is in middle age. So if you don't exercise much and you're overweight, you have a really high fat diet, things like that, all these things increase your risk, or a lot, high cholesterol does too. It's amazing how many bad things cholesterol does to you. But you have all these things going on in middle age, and if you kind of can ratchet that back a bit, you lower your risk a lot. And once you start getting into the area where you start having damaging clinical symptoms, it's much harder to fix. And sure, if some of the damage is due to just things like, as you said, if you have restricted blood flow to the brain, that's not that bad in terms of, you think about, there may be ways to reverse that. But if you've already lost a lot of the brain cells in the area, and we don't know quite how to recover those yet. So once that damage is done, it's more or less permanent, at least so far.
Thymosin beta 4. Have you seen some of the research on thymosin beta 4?
No, I have not, actually.
Oh, my God. It's so exciting when it comes to the brain. It's just amazing. In fact, I did a blog a couple weeks ago about what every NFL player should know about concussion and traumatic brain injury. The research on thymosin beta 4 is profound. Both in rodent models and even in a couple human case studies, giving as little as 2 milligrams of thymosin beta 4 within 6 hours of a stroke, 3 weeks later, no sign of an ischemic event in the brain at all. It's profound.
Actually, no, I think I have heard of some of that. So, a lot of these things, the post-stroke recovery is really a difficult thing to get going. It's a big, I'm sure with stroke issues, that when people have a stroke, the time for you to actually be able to do anything helpful is really, really short.
Right.
So you have to intervene really quickly. The head trauma angle is really interesting too. The pathology with people, with NFL players and also boxers and stuff, is another aspect of dementia that's more driven by tau pathology, which you also find in Alzheimer's disease. But it's actually also really interesting, especially with, there's been a lot of interest in recent years too, with how this affects veterans, because there's a lot of, obviously, veterans who've served overseas and have suffered head traumas either one or more times, and the more times they have that, the more greater risk they have of later life dementia, which is somewhat similar to the stuff you see in NFL players.
Yeah, but I'll just say this, and we'll get right back into your research. But the interesting thing about thymosin beta 4 is that its role is more of the job superintendent. Without growth factors, it doesn't work as well. So really, in my humble opinion, I would predict that the research is going to provide in the next decade that thymosin beta 4 in concert with either growth hormone or even some of the downstream metabolites of growth hormone, because everybody's so afraid of growth hormone, like VEGF and fibroblast growth factors and stuff like that, in concert is what's going to be used as a therapeutic approach to rescue from a brain injury. Because what thymosin beta 4 does is it helps to prompt differentiation of stem cells and helps to prompt rapid assessment of the damage, and then applying growth factors to get the job done. Which, if you're 70 and you don't have any growth hormone and growth factors left in your body, I don't think thymosin beta 4 is going to be very helpful to people. But that's just my own uneducated opinion. So back, good. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, anything that's going to drive recovery of neurons in the brain is going to do something like that, where you tap into basically either driving neuronal stem cell differentiation or further infiltration of stem cells into the brain to get new neuronal growth. And we already know that there's some recovery capacity in the brain, more so when you're younger than when you're older, but you're right, when you're very old, you don't have as much recovery capability in your brain, and encouraging that is a really important way to go. And there's definitely a lot more research that needs done in that area.
So what did you learn from this research? What did you come away from this research? Were there any golden moments where you said, wow, this is really exciting?
Yeah, one of the things that we found that was really quite interesting is that there's a relationship between a lot of the things that are connected to metabolic dysfunction that also are related to metabolic, or not only metabolic disease, but also vascular dementia and different forms of neurologic disease. So things like insulin resistance, and also, surprisingly enough, leptin resistance.
Mm.
Leptin is an adipokine. It's made by your adipose tissue, and tells your brain essentially how much body fat you have, and it's a major thing that controls energy metabolism and thinking about how much you really have to eat. It's a major appetite control mechanism. And it turns out that leptin is very important for regulating a lot of the pathways that are involved in different aspects of neurological disease, not only vascular dementia, but Alzheimer's as well. And that stuff led us down a couple of different interesting avenues, and we've been working towards thinking about whether any of these actually have any therapeutic potential, where you could actually devise ways to treat the disease by tapping into that pathway. And some of those are more theoretical and some are more directed. So by theoretical, I mean we try to directly, you know, change some of the genes in the pathways and so on in mouse models.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we do this? Can we take a break and when we come back talk specifically about some of these theoretical approaches?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. So let's do this. We're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Michael Murphy. We're talking about the role of the vasculature of the brain in affecting dementia and cognitive ability. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
You know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors. A naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms. So sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's
world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Michael Murphy from University of Kentucky in Lexington, Kentucky, right here, my home state. Talking about the role of vascular contributors to cognitive impairment and dementia. So when we're going into the break, you said there were some theoretical approaches that you could discuss. Why don't we talk about that? That might be very exciting for the listeners.
Well, sure. I mean, the first thing that we tried was, and how we got into this in the mouse models in the first place, was we were interested in the midlife connection between diabetes and obesity and how it was driving dementia. So we started out looking at kind of an established model of Alzheimer's disease, which just a mouse model, you know, Alzheimer's disease isn't something that mice normally get. And we tried doing a bunch of dietary and exercise variations to see how it would affect pathology. So what we started out with was we looked at high-fat diets in general. So this is what's often called like a Western diet.
Right.
So very high fat, pretty much standard amount of protein and so on. So it was actually bacon-flavored. And the mice are really into eating a lot of fat. They like that quite a lot. It's very high energy for them. And we were comparing it to both their normal diet and a diet that was a ketogenic diet. So this is one that's kind of very high fat but low carbs. So really,
and also low protein, right? True ketogenic diet is like 3 parts fat to 1 part combined carbohydrates and protein.
Right. So, and we were interested in how that would interact with both their level of just normal exercise and how it would affect development of pathology. And the interesting thing with that is, and this really led us down to this idea that leptin signaling was really important, was that we saw what would really be considered to be very mild improvements in things like their functionality and their cognitive function, just their regular levels of just daily activity. So we see pretty ordinary things with when they had more exercise, they'd have lower blood glucose, they'd be generally a little bit healthier, but it didn't have a gigantic impact on the type of pathology that they developed as they got older. And something with like a ketogenic diet, for instance, we would get some short-term improvements in, for example, the amount of amyloid in their brain. They would get better that way. But we saw a lot of variability in there, so there was a lot of individual differences in here, and it didn't look like there was a real gigantic improvement that would. Now, they're modest improvements, and over a very long time, you know, modest improvements can make a big difference.
Right.
But over a short term, we were looking at these. The most promising thing we saw was the mice that seemed to be better, or the strongest connection between pathology was an inverse one between the amount of leptin that they had and the amount of pathology. So there's an inverse correlation. So if they had a little bit more leptin, they had less pathology and so on. So the connection, and this wasn't over the mice that were obese, these were just over the normal range of leptin. So these were normal mice, and this came out of just a large analysis for this. And we started to think that maybe what was happening is that leptin was regulating a lot of the gene pathways that were involved in neurologic disease in general. And how we tried to approach that, first we tried manipulating some of the genes in the pathway, and this is why I meant by more theoretical. So if you, for example, you can take mice that are leptin resistant, and this leptin resistance is something that goes along with metabolic disease just like insulin resistance does. If you're overweight for a long time, your brain starts to become resistant to the amount of leptin that's traveling around in your bloodstream. So this is one of the reasons why, I don't, you remember a long time ago, when leptin was first discovered as a fat hormone, people thought, wow, this could be the greatest weight loss drug ever, because if you give this to people, they'll just stop eating. it turns out that you develop a tolerance to leptin right. incredibly quickly.
Right.
So it turns out that leptin has very powerful regulatory effects in how much food you take in, but also in a lot of other different pathways you would think have nothing to do with metabolism. So when we started to look at this, we realized that a lot of the pathology was related to how much leptin was going, how leptin was signaling in the brain. And this was pretty surprising to us because we thought that, wow, leptin, there's not really much known about leptin's role in the brain other than its role on regulating appetite and energy metabolism. So when we started to go into this in more detail, that was when we really discovered the connection between the vascular pathology. And it turns out if you look at mice that are leptin resistant, these are the ones that actually develop the most vascular pathology when they get older. So in addition to having Alzheimer's-like pathology, they start to develop a lot of, they get a lot of aneurysms and strokes, and they become a lot more cognitively impaired. So that was really a theoretical angle, and we started to think about this in terms of what would be good therapeutic things to approach. And we've had a couple of good hits with these so far, and they're not finished yet, but they're looking pretty promising. One of the ones that we were working on was using Mycartis, telmisartan, which is an angiotensin receptor blocker. And that one, this coming back to what we had talked about earlier with blood pressure, even though the mice that we've seen like this, they don't typically have, they're not hypertensive. But if you give a very low dose of some of these receptor blockers, it turns out it has pretty profound effects on vascular function. So even if you're not hypertensive, a very low dose of some of these drugs seems to actually preserve vascular function and even help improve it over a long period of time. And we've seen in a small number of the mice so far that it looks like it actually reduces some of the stroke pathology as they get older. And I think that's very interesting.
Okay, so two things come to mind. 2012, we did a show about the linkage between leptin and asthma in women because it is pro-inflammatory. And that was followed up by a show that we did on adiponectin and COPD. There's a linkage. And again, both pro-inflammatory in very, very high levels. And obviously, if you are obese, these are circulating in very high levels, and they seem to contribute to chronic inflammation. And some people are predisposed for that chronic inflammation to do the greatest assault on their lungs and perhaps some in their brain. The other question is, why not magnesium? I know magnesium is a natural ACE inhibitor.
Mm-hmm.
What about magnesium in the role of helping to improve some of the vascular qualities?
With a lot of these things that look, like, for example, like magnesium, it's the issue is whether or not you can, how much you really need to actually get into the brain, or if you need to any of it to get into the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on which side of the vasculature you're working on. If you can actually have, how much, you know, it comes down to how much is going to be important for actually changing blood pressure or changing something on the other side of the blood-brain barrier inside the brain.
Right.
Do you actually have to target neurons or a lot of the glial cells are influencing how the vasculature is reacting to the brain's, you know, blood flow needs depending on what your level of cognitive activity is or what, you know, what you're doing. Versus just what the baseline level is and how much you really need. And some of these things like the role of leptin, adiponectin, and inflammation, I mean, most of this stuff is done as a, this is how these changes are in peripheral inflammation and not so much in the brain. And although I suspect there's probably analogous things are going on in the brain at the same time, how important they are in the brain is relatively unresolved because most people think about these adipokines as not really having much role inside the brain at all, even though we can find some of the receptors scattered throughout the brain, and we think that they're doing something in there. We just don't know exactly what it might be.
I want to take a break because I want to get back on our clock. We went long in the first segment. I want to come back and talk about male female, the role of gender in cognitive issues, because I want to stay also with the magnesium thing, but specific sex hormones like progesterone, which seems to have a profound role on magnesium in the brain. So let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll get back on our clock. We're talking with Dr. Michael Murphy from the University of Kentucky right here in my home state. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Superhuman Human Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Michael's naturopathic programs feature synergistically complete targeted formulas that utilize the healing power of nature, nourish the specific systems, treat the whole person, and do no harm. They are designed to give results, like Michael's popular Adrenal Extra, known as Energy Support, which is ideal for people with stressful lifestyles. It contains nutrients that support energy processes in the body, complemented with herbs. Michael's naturopathic programs are available at local health food stores or on the web at michaelshealth.com.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the MGDO Healthy Deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
Superhuman Radio will start in just a moment, but Elisa and I wanted to tell you about something we're really excited about.
One of the top requests we get every month is to do a show about eating the superhuman way on a budget. So many people say it's just impossible, but now we have the answer.
We can now tell you to shop at ThriveMarket.com for all your favorite products. Whether it's organic, paleo, raw, vegan, non-GMO, or any other natural products, you'll find them all at ThriveMarket.com.
ThriveMarket.com has over 3,000 healthy products at 25 to 50% off retail. Go to ThriveMarket.com/SuperhumanRadio and get 2 months free membership and 15% off your first order.
Take advantage of this outstanding offer. Thanks to ThriveMarket.com, eating like a superhuman has never been cheaper.
Less expensive.
Cheaper.
Carl, it's less expensive.
Okay, less expensive. Get over to ThriveMarket.com/SuperhumanRadio today and start saving big time. Never pay retail again.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Michael Murphy from the University of Kentucky about vascular contributors to cognitive impairment and dementia. So, I just want to stay with magnesium just for a second longer. Hypokalemia has been identified to be a risk for stroke. Progesterone levels tend to play a role in the brain's uptake, attenuation, and mediation of magnesium, intracellular magnesium. And men tend to have more stable progesterone levels than women because women's progesterone levels fluctuate depending on where they are in their ovulatory period. So my question to you is there anything that shows that women are more prone to dementia than men? And if so, could, you know, because I know a lot of research isn't done on female rodents because of estrogen's role and the changing, you know, landscape of estrogen. Could it be that there's an effect of sex hormones on the probability of developing dementia?
Yeah, and the short answer is that the prevalence of dementia in women is much higher than it is in men. The challenge has always been sorting out the differences, how the differences are attributed to just the fact that women generally live longer versus the actual incident. If you look at the incident rate between men and women, it's actually pretty equivocal as to whether or not men get Alzheimer's, for example, at a lower rate than women do. It looks like the actual rate is somewhat similar, even though there's more cases of dementia in women. Now, I mean, several years ago, there was a lot of interest in the relationship between sex hormones as a preventative for Alzheimer's disease. There was actually quite a large study on this several years ago that looked at the relationship between estrogen replacement therapy or hormone replacement therapy and whether or not it could be used as a therapeutic for AD. And it looked like that, so for example, women that took HRT had a much lower risk of dementia than women that did not take HRT. And this led into a pretty large-scale trial to determine whether or not this had any therapeutic value. And like a lot of things like this, it turned out that it didn't work as a reversal agent. It was just a preventative. It goes back to this idea that prevention of the disease is much more important, at least for now, than treatment because you don't have many treatment options.
Yeah.
For vascular issues, we don't really know. I mean, there hasn't been that much done on the vascular angle for that. We just know dementia in general.
Okay. Were there anything, specific things in this research that gave you an aha moment, you know, that you did not expect to see?
Yeah, actually a couple of things. I mean, probably the most interesting thing was we weren't expecting the pathways that we thought that were important for dementia onset looked like they were all related to the same things that happen in Alzheimer's disease. And we saw this in human pathology cases, and it fit well with what we already knew from the literature, that a lot of these things are connected to, for example, amyloid pathology. And one of the things you see in people as they get older, along with regular Alzheimer's pathology, so the plaques that you see throughout the brain, you have a lot of amyloid that's deposited in the blood vessels themselves. And we were convinced that this was going to be really, really important, that as you get older, you would have a lot more vascular pathology that was related to this deposition of amyloid in the vascular walls of the brain itself, because we knew for a long time now that that sort of pathology was related to small hemorrhages and microinfarcts in the brain. So we thought that this might be one of the major drivers of vascular impairment in the brain, this deposition of amyloid in the blood vessels. But when we looked at this in more detail, one of the more striking things we found was that that didn't seem to be the case at all. It looks like that the deposition of amyloid in blood vessels is an important factor in Alzheimer's disease in general, but it doesn't seem to be related to vascular dementia. Mm-hmm. It looks like that's an independent thing altogether. So we've seen plenty of cases where there look like very much straight-up vascular dementia that's related to something that's more stroke-like that has nothing to do with amyloid in the blood vessels at all. And that was pretty striking for us. We didn't expect that at all. We thought we'd find a really good relationship between those two things. Now, I'm kind of not in the, there's really diverse opinions on this, so there's lots of different opinions among the clinical community on what is and is not vascular dementia. So some people think that vascular dementia really is just a component of Alzheimer's disease, and there's a lot of disagreement on that.
Right. What would you expect clinicians and lay people to take away from your research?
Well, I think as of now, there's a lot to be said about prevention. That prevention for a lot of, not just for vascular dementia, but for Alzheimer's disease as well, is really the way to go. I think in 10 years or so, we're going to have some ways that to actually actively intervene in the disease process. But for the time being, having good overall health, keeping your cholesterol low, your blood pressure down, having both a lot of physical and mental activity, especially from middle age onwards, is probably the most important thing that people can look out for in terms of preventing them from coming down with dementia as they get older. The onset of the actual pathology, and it develops over such a long period of time, over as probably as long as 20 years, you really have to start thinking about in your 40s and 50s about what's the best way to maintain a healthy lifestyle that would reduce your risk of developing dementia in your late 60s and early 70s. By the time you get there, it's going to be really hard to reverse the damage that's already been done. And it's one of the things that's amazing about research in dementia over the years is how this aligns with so many other factors in human health, too. I mean, prevention is so much better than trying to fix the damage that's already been done.
Are you familiar with Dr. Dale Bredesen from UCLA?
Yes, I know him actually quite well.
He was on the show back in 2014, I believe it was, and talked about his research in a very small cohort, about 22, I think, or 26 individuals, where they took a multi-pronged approach, which you obviously know about this, but I'm just repeating it for the audience, where they eliminated, you know, sugars and simple carbohydrates. They even eliminated gluten, had people put on an organic diet, more of a Mediterranean-style diet. They had them meditating twice a day. They made sure that they went to sleep around 9 o'clock, and they had their last meal 3 hours before going to sleep. They got their hormones leveled out by putting them on HRT. They had them exercising 30 minutes a day, 6 days a week. I mean, they just did all these different things. They used intermittent fasting. And as you probably know, the results was amazing. I mean, they had complete reversals of symptoms. Now, we have to say symptoms because we can't say they reversed Alzheimer's disease, because we don't know if there was a reduction in the plaque buildup or whatever the collateral damage to the brain was. But what we do know is that these people regained their memories. They were able to go back and live their lives. In fact, one guy was an executive who was retiring early because of his Alzheimer's disease. And not only did he go back to work, but he actually opened up two new offices. And I think Dr. Bredesen is supposed to be embarking on a larger scale study now. Do you know anything about that? What's going on over there?
Yeah, he has been actually exploring that. And I think a lot of there's a lot to be said about this sort of multifactorial approach to tackling complex diseases.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've known for a long time that all of these different factors combine to drive a disease and kind of push people over the edge. And when we've been thinking about how to develop therapies, the stuff that has gone through the big clinical trials has all been sort of these single monotherapies. You have a drug that targets one thing, and you try to treat people in early-stage disease, and they generally don't work very well, or they have some mild effect on alleviating some symptoms. And for something like what Dr. Bredesen is doing, where you're looking at things like combining things that inhibit inflammation, restore normal sleep cycles, reduce oxidative stress, these things are all combined together. If you think all these little things, there's something to be said for combining a lot of small things to get a kind of an activity that's greater than the sum of the parts, right? The synergistic interplay of all of these different types of therapies might be super beneficial compared to just one thing on its own. So you can see this even with a lot of therapies and other diseases too, where putting A and B together gives you something that's much bigger than you would expect by just simple addition. So that's what you're doing with Dr. Bredesen's work. We're looking at this on a larger scale. I mean, the problem with that sort of thing, and this is just to be devil's advocate on this, is if you're looking at this as a long-term kind of solution, it's really hard to get people to stick to a really complicated therapeutic regimen that involves a lot of different components.
See, and that's the one that loses me. And I got to be honest with you. I mean, I know that I have good friends that are physicians, and their biggest complaint is patient compliance. They give their patients
right.
good advice, and patients don't act on it. And that to me is shocking, because when I turned 40 years old, I was diagnosed with a dysrhythmia of the heart that was putting me on the path to getting a pacemaker within a couple years. I was 330 pounds. My blood sugar was, you know, off the charts. My cholesterol was off the charts. I was basically the picture of the average American today. It just took that one doctor's visit for me. You know, when they, my heart wouldn't beat right, I was rushed to the hospital. You know, they said, they told me what the prognosis was and what would have to be done and blah, blah, blah. That scared me so bad that I didn't say, oh God, if you let me live, I didn't say that. I said, if I am going to go home and change my life because I did this to myself. I can unravel this. And that's all it took for me was that one, you know, wake up call event. But so many people, you know, are developing Alzheimer's. I know someone right now who's developing Alzheimer's disease, drinks alcohol every single day. She, you know, she clearly does things that are contributing. And I don't say they're causal, but they definitely aren't going to help her avoid progression of the disease. And I that shocks me. When people say, oh, this is too complicated, you want me to change my whole life? Yeah, it's your brain. It's your life. Don't you want to save yourself?
Yeah, well, it's hard. I mean, people do not, it's really hard to get people motivated to keep on something that's really complicated. And one of the things that's difficult on top of that is people who are suffering from a memory disorder. It's easy for them to forget to do something. If you're trying to get them to do something that's more complicated, you also need to get on top of their own compliance. Mm-hmm. You need to get family compliance because the family has to know what they need to help out with and how they can contribute to the therapy, because if they need to do X, Y, and Z at certain times, then A, B, and C at different times, and so on, that person, not only, even if they're the most motivated person in the world, they may forget to do them.
Right. And it's hard for the family. Hard for the
family.
And quite frankly, this woman that I illustrated, her daughter is a emergency room surgery nurse. And I talked to her too, and I said, look, you know, I have access to ketone supplements. They can help her, you know, have a little bit more clarity. It's short-lived. It's not a fix, but it'll help. And, you know, she needs to and she says, you know, I'm so busy with my own life, my own family, my own job. I can't go back there and take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sad. It's really, really a sad situation. And my frustration is we're seeing people developing dementia in their 40s now. I mean, it's getting earlier and earlier, so much so that there was a movie that won some sort of Academy Awards last year because it's about a woman who develops dementia and Alzheimer's disease at like 40, and, you know, the family has to suffer through that.
Yeah, Still Alice. It was a good movie.
Yeah, I know it is. It's a good movie, but it's a representation of what's – I mean, if we – and I know this is a poor analogy, okay? But if – the majority of the population was getting hooked on heroin. I mean, much bigger than there is right now. We wouldn't make a movie about being a family member and, you know, like let me show you what it's like to live through someone. No, because we would say, wow, this is something we can fix. But we're looking at Alzheimer's disease like it's not fixable, and maybe fix is the wrong word. But as you point out, if you are doing these high-risk behaviors and you're not thinking about what the endpoints of your behaviors are, you're going to develop a chronic disease. So what isn't that movie a wake-up call? Not so much to the poor families that have to live through it, but more so, hey, what are we doing to ourselves? When are we going to stop this craziness?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think one of the things that's been very beneficial about increased public awareness of this is that it actually has driven a little bit of government activity to increase that part of the NIH budget that's connected to Alzheimer's research.
Good. So
there's going to be about a 60% increase in that part of the budget this year. That's very helpful. I mean, the compared to the scale of how many people are afflicted with dementia in the U.S. and how, as our, you know, everyone talks about as our demographics are changing to a generally older population, there's going to be a lot more people with dementia. There's going to be literally tens of millions of people with Alzheimer's and other types of dementia within the next 20 years. And the budget for Alzheimer's research has been relatively small compared to the rest of the federal budget, and it's nice that they're getting a small increase this year.
Great research. Thank you so much for being on the show, Dr. Murphy.
Thank you very much for having me.
Take care. All right, so there you have it. Another episode of Superhuman Radio completed. Thanks to Dr. Jeff Galini. Please reach out to him and ask him for stuff. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Ask the Scientist banner ad at the bottom right-hand side of the page, and ask Dr. Galini for some stuff. Don't forget to video yourself opening the box so we can put it up on Facebook when we see your big surprised face. And, of course, thank you to Dr. Oliver. Oh, gosh, I'm so bad today. Dr. Oliver Rando. for coming on and talking about the contribution of a father's diet to his offspring. Not all about the mom. It's about the dad, too. And, of course, Dr. Michael Murphy for talking about the vascular contributors to dementia and Alzheimer's disease. We'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today.